The confusion over Palm Beach County's butterfly ballot has linguist Jeff Nunberg thinking about graphic literacy in the computer age.
Who'd have figured a week ago that the whole nation would be locked in a debate about literacy requirements? I'm not thinking of those literacy tests that southern states used to use, where the registrar would selectively require African Americans to answer questions about obscure points of constitutional law. Congress tossed those out with the Voting Rights Acts of the 1960s. But the Palm Beach County ballot was a new kind of literacy test, if an inadvertent one. In this case, of course, opinions tend to follow party lines. Democrats have been depicting the Palm Beach ballot as a kind of Chinese maze. One cartoonist published an official Florida ballot that showed Bush's name connected by a straight, short arrow to one hole, while the arrows after Gore, Nader, and Buchanan's names were tangled up so you couldn't tell which was which. Whereas Republicans were putting the blame on voters who were simply too dim to punch the right hole. A demonstrator in Tallahassee was carrying a sign that read, "If you can read this, you must be a Republican." And a cartoonist did a version of the Palm Beach ballot that replaced Buchanan's name with a declaration next to the punch hole that read, "I am clearly too stupid to be included in the process of electing a president." Politics aside, the debate isn't really that different from a conversation that's repeated a couple of million times a day, every time somebody calls a 1-800 hotline for help in installing a printer driver or filling out a benefits form. The people at the help desk may be more polite about it than those Republicans have been, but they usually manage to convey the same kind of message. You're clearly too stupid to be included in the process of installing a printer. In the old days, we thought of literacy as a purely verbal skill. That was implicit in the school curriculum, which was anchored in the assumption that you could master all of the linguistic skills you needed to function as a member of modern society in the course of learning to write a 3-paragraph book report. Teachers spent a week on pie charts and bar graphs, but apart from that, they never delved into the higher mysteries of document layout. But then in those days, it didn't matter as much. Most documents were a lot simpler. And the more complicated ones were usually designed by professionals, people who knew their way around all those exotic features like fonts, faces, columns, tables, and the rest. It was a more innocent age when terms like line letting and page break were as recondite as hanging Chad was before last weekend. But the world has acquired a lot more complicated interface since then. It started with the punch cards in the standardized tests of the 50s, and by now we've reached the point where you have to negotiate an elaborate graphical interface every time you want to buy gas or a bus ticket or take money out of the bank, with a microchip on the other end that's not in a position to make allowances. And the new forms of electronic documents add another level. In place of the bare text that came out of a typewriter, now we have to navigate desktop publications, PowerPoint slides, and web pages, most of them created by people who know as much about designing a page as they do about drawing a horse. Nowadays, anybody's free to explore the uncharted frontiers of typographic design, and that's pretty much what anybody's been doing. Think of the unfortunate Teresa Lepore, the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections. According to press reports, she was simply trying to help out older voters by increasing the font size on the ballots, using templates from some 12-year-old MS-DOS software. And then when the text got too big for one column, she started moving things around to make it fit. That's the emblematic predicament of the postmodern writer. It's one thing to compose a coherent text and another to get it to print out right. And it's no wonder readers are so often led astray these days, particularly if they're operating from a trusting nature that's left over from an age when you could assume that typographers knew what they were doing. One of the most poignant things about accounts of illiteracy is just how scary the world can be when every sign and piece of paper seems an incomprehensible obstacle. That's the same way a lot of people feel in the face of all these new interfaces and documents. Age has something to do with it, of course, but you can find a lot of young people who have this feeling of anxiety tinged with shame. I suspect that that's one thing behind the obvious distress that many of those Palm Beach voters felt when they discovered they'd voted for Pat Buchanan. And it may explain why a lot of them didn't ask for another ballot, the same way illiterates don't like to admit that they have trouble reading. I heard somebody on CNN say, well, soon we'll all be voting on the internet and we won't have these problems. I'll grant you there's something to be said for any solution that would send the word Chad back to the obscurity it deserves. Still, I have my doubts about online voting. I'm not thinking just about the security problems or the unfair advantage it gives to people who have internet hookups in their homes. But what's going to happen when every county has a different Teresa Lepore putting up its ballot on a web page with all the opportunities for confusion and misdirection that the technology affords? It's hard to see how the process won't disenfranchise even more of those people who are slow off the typographic mark. Only this time around, it'll be even worse. You'll log in to vote and click on what looks like the right button, and then a minute later, you'll suddenly realize that you've just bid on a fondue set at eBay.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.